the person introduces you, and they introduce you, but before they introduce you, they talk about the CEO mm-hmm. who just passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then bring you up, and then let's have some fun with Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've also had the introduction where it's a public company, and the president or whoever gets up and goes, just got the phone call. Yeah, we just lost our biggest client. Let's bring up Joel.
Let's bring up Joel. That's like a moment from The Office.
Yeah, and then that company was dissolved in 2 weeks after wasn't my fault.
Welcome to the Beyond Speaking podcast from Premier Speakers Bureau, featuring in-depth conversations with the world's most in-demand keynote speakers.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joel Zeff.
Thank you, Brian.
Who, yes, thanks for being on here. So Joel has been speaking for 25 years now. He's the master of bringing energy to the events, is what his intro says. Which is funny because 18 years ago is when I started booking you, and it was for an energy company. So I was like, there we go.
Perfect. That's awesome. I have no memory of that.
Yeah.
But I believe you, Brian.
Energy 2005.
If you could literally, you could have just made that up, and I would have gone, yeah, that was an awesome event.
Absolutely.
I bet we were at a Marriott somewhere.
No, it was the Renaissance in Nashville.
Yeah, and I have no memory.
So here's the fun thing. He does other stuff too. So what the book is, I always want to say, make the right choice.
Make the right choice.
Yeah. So talking about change, innovation, bring fun to the workplace, communication, which is a fun one. So anyway, so I'm at this event. And it's with Joel. And so this was like right before I had kids, so I had free time. And so I went to the event. It was hilarious. The executives had a great time. The people were just laughing hysterically the entire time, crying. And so I go and decide to do an improv class. I actually took an improv class after going to your thing, like the one free one.
I inspired you.
Yeah, it inspired me. And it was great. I could not make a box with my hands the right way. That was the thing that I got out of it.
There's no right or wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Box was your box. That's how you improv the box.
Yes, but it was a fun experience. And I think whenever you get a speaker, you want to have somebody that will actually make you want to go and do things.
Yeah.
And it did really help me with communication from a standpoint of so many people in a thing can have that effect. So anyway, a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And so how did you initially get into improv comedy?
So I was in Dallas. The first weekend I moved to Dallas, the Dallas Times Herald brought me down from a newspaper in Michigan. I was a journalist. Mm-hmm. And so they recruited me to work at the Dallas Times Herald. The first weekend I was in town, a friend took me to an improv show. And I'd been to Second City, but I'd just seen the sketch show. I'd never been to an improv show. And so I go to the show, and it was literally like those moments in the movie where you go, to the main character, and there's like a light that shines, and there's music, and you know, and there's like some type birds chirping or whatever. It's like, oh, this moment. And it was like, I just fell in love as it was just stars. It was that moment that I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get to there on stage, but that's where I want to be. That was just in a moment that just absolutely captured me. I was an audience volunteer that day. Uh-huh. I have a photo. I don't really have a memory of it, but I have a photo. And I started taking workshops, just like when you saw me do improv at that corporate event, it was the same thing. I went to that show, immediately signed up for a workshop. I mean, I was just energized and inspired. Took a couple workshops, time goes by, the newspaper closes, I work for a couple agencies. One of my clients, a PR client, was Texas Instruments, and they're having an executive retreat. And they said, I know you do improv on the weekends. Can you come do some improv with us at this executive retreat? And it wasn't like I went, yeah, let's do it. This is going to be awesome. It was more of a, sure, that sounds fun. Okay. And it was, you know, all men, all VP level, technology company. So if you're like,
that's the best audience ever.
And it was a small group too. And let's do it before dinner. So it's like, yeah. And I took another performer with me, and, Here's what happened. They loved it. Mm-hmm. More importantly, I loved it. And I just, the little light bulb started flickering. And that was the start. Mm.
That's great. And so did you take it? Now, did you still work? How long did you work at a job?
So I went on my own. I left I was working at an ad agency. I went on my own in 1994. Mm-hmm. I started doing improv. That same club that I went to the first weekend, I auditioned. I got into the troupe in 1993, which was 2 years mm-hmm. from the moment that I saw that show.
Yeah.
So I auditioned, got into the show. We had our own theater in Dallas. And 94, I was working at an ad agency. I went on my own doing PR marketing, and I would do speaking or doing some little improv workshops here and there. In 1997, I did a video, long time ago. remember the 90s. And so I had a production company. They did a video. It was for Allstate Insurance. Mm-hmm. Now, they told me I was speaking in their auditorium. I called a lunchroom. They called it an auditorium. It was a lunchroom.
Yeah.
So my first video was at the Allstate Insurance lunchroom, even though they called it an auditorium. And we put a little video together. I started sending it out, and it was really quick. Mm-hmm. And by 99, it had pretty much taken over my whole business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of great speakers that have amazing messages, mm-hmm. as you know. There's a lot of speakers that are funny. And you say, well, I want great message, and I want it funny. I want it entertaining. Well, that's a lot, as you know, fewer people. And you say, well, I want it entertaining. I want a great message. I want it interactive. I want mm-hmm. my audience to engage. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're talking about a lot fewer people. And that was a niche. Even in the late 90s, early 2000s, that was even a smaller group of people.
Yeah.
And so luckily, I love what I do. And the success just was very quick. Mm-hmm. And I'm passionate about it. I love sharing what improv taught me. I love sharing my love of improv. Mm-hmm. I love seeing people engaged and laugh and have fun and learn the choices that improv teaches us. And it's just incredibly energizing, incredibly inspiring every day. Today, I'm here because I was speaking to some dental offices and orthodontists, and it was awesome to see them engage and have fun with the games and learn what the games taught me and what I hope will pass on to them.
Well, that's the thing, is like it is so much fun. Like, you forget you're at an event.
Right.
Like, that's part of it, is that you've been talking about insurance, or they're talking about like dental stuff. I don't even know you talk about floss. So and so you've got this stuff going.
You better be flossing.
You better be flossing. Yeah. All and I got the water pick. I got everything. but when it comes to that, like, people take in so much more when they're having fun.
Yeah.
So with you, what's kind of the first way that you kind of bring somebody on, or what's it like to get something started, or is there hesitancy from people?
Every group is completely different, and I love it because it surprises me. I don't ever know, you know, what's going to happen. Some groups are, I mean, they're jumping out of their seats and elbowing each other to get up on stage to volunteer, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And some groups are a little more hesitant, but everybody wants to play, no matter what type of group. And I've spoken to, I mean, insurance, IT, accounting, the IRS, you know, government, federal agencies, state agencies. Everybody wants to play, mm-hmm. and they just want to be given that opportunity. And then I kind of add my own, you know, ability to be positive and be supportive and know that they're going to be successful. And so, you know, in a typical keynote, I'll probably have 9 audience volunteers. So so if there's an audience of 200 people, not 200 people are going to come up on stage.
Right.
But they are going to participate vicariously through those people on stage. Those are their friends, their peers, their colleagues, their managers, whatever. And so they're going to still engage through them. They're participating through them. That's the concept. And so those 9 volunteers that come up on stage, or 12 volunteers, sometimes, you know, they jump up. And especially today's world, it's a little bit different than from the 90s, you know, mm-hmm. where a lot of people didn't even have a definition of what improvisation was. They just weren't as familiar. But today, that's different. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you know, with social media and video, and we're constantly always being recorded, people, I think, are a little more open to doing something like that, get out of their box a little bit. Mm-hmm. So people come up on stage, and I'm reading them as well. I want to make sure that they're in the place that they're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I might be moving. What you don't see is I might be moving people around, or changing the game, or putting them in the right role that's going to fit and allow them to be successful. Because that's what I want. I want them to have fun. And the game could be absolutely, they could literally crush. I could walk off stage, they could do the game, and you're like, oh my gosh, they're incredible. And then sometimes I just have to do a little more. Mm-hmm. And it's just me, my ability just to kind of give and take and see what happens and make sure that they look awesome.
Yeah. So one of the things I love about it too is change. So change is a huge topic right now. How does your message kind of help fit what people are going through today?
Yeah. So improv is constant change, constant disruption. And I think most people are familiar with improv. you know, but some aren't. There's no script, there's no rehearsal, there's no plan. And so improv is teaching us how to work together as a team, how to deal with change and disruption, how to embrace that change, not be afraid of it, and embrace it and react to it and find that success. And so improv is probably the perfect way to learn how to work together as a team, to communicate, to innovate, to be a leader, because improv is just constant change and disruption. And it, there are choices that we make that allow us to be successful in that change and disruption. One is to embrace it and realize you don't control change, you only control how you react to change. And so when you see someone on stage, the humor from improv doesn't come from someone creating change, it comes from the person reacting to it. Mm-hmm. And that's, we can learn from that. We can learn how to embrace it. We can learn how to be more prepared, to be more open and flexible. And all these are just some of the messages that improv teaches us. And it's a fun way to learn that change doesn't have to be scary, mm-hmm. that change is constant, that if we embrace it, we learn how to deal with it, to keep our energy up, to keep our attitude, we're going to be more successful as a leader, as a team member, as a communicator, as an innovator.
Mm-hmm. And the message too around communication. Like yep. that was one of the things that really stood out to me there is between this person and the top executive, whoever was on stage there. What can people learn about communication through this?
So I talk about being more confident and being more comfortable and being more in control. And improv, again, some of the just key lessons that improv teaches us to be more present and in the moment, really to be a good listener. And it starts with that, because in improv, again, you're working with other people. If you're not really focused on what they're doing and what they're giving, how can you help them be successful? Mm-hmm. And so it really starts with listening and being present in the moment. But it's also about how we help each other find success as communicators, how we have to be more detailed, how we have to be more patient, understanding, how we have to have that constant communication and define it. So there's a lot of ways that improv teaches us. Those are just a couple of the, you know, messages that I focus on. Mm-hmm.
So taking from this and people going and applying it. Mm-hmm. So like, how do people actually add fun to the workplace? Like you're talking about some of the worst audiences, like this all male tech, whatever it was.
They're not the worst audience. Well, that's more challenging. I never said those are your words.
I will tell you the worst audience, which is Speakers Bureau agents, because we are, and I will say that like I'm a horrible audience member. So I will, because I'm back here and I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
But I always, my grandma has this picture of me and my dad and my grandpa, and we're all watching football like this.
Yeah.
And she goes, it's just a bunch of frogs. And we don't disagree with football. Yeah. We're just how we say.
Yeah.
So I'm just horrible.
I have plenty of audiences, and they just learn. You know, they start like this. I'm like, just release. It's okay.
Yeah.
And if I catch someone like in the front row doing that, because I love to break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Right. Because I want to engage the audience. I want to connect with them. And if I see someone just a natural, you know, like this, like make me laugh. You know, I'm like, I always say, just unclench. Just let it happen. Okay. Unclench. Let the comedy happen. I promise. Just release a little bit. And, you know, it's just, I like to have fun. I like to create that energy. You know, when you talk about bringing that energy and fun, I think it's sometimes we just have to learn that it's okay to laugh and have fun. And at the beginning of my presentations, I always talk about celebrating and, you know, that ta-da moment. And, you know, that when your kids are little and everything's a ta-da, you know, everything's a celebration. And we get the whole audience to stand up and yell ta-da. And it's just celebrating those moments and taking some of these messages. They're all choices. They're individual choices. But thinking about them and making sure we understand that we still have to, that energy, we have to celebrate, right? We have to fuel our passion. Mm-hmm. And those ta-da moments, we have them every single day, but we don't celebrate them like when we were 3 and 4 years old. And my belief is that we have to celebrate them, mm-hmm. right, to fuel us up. And I also talk about, you know, I have a job where I get a round of applause, right? You talk to people on this podcast, they do their job, they get a round of applause. That's pretty awesome. It's pretty lucky if you really think about it. You don't even have to be that good. Like you could be sick and, you know, not have a bad day and people will still, you know, they might go, he was all right, but they'll still, you know. So I do my job, I get a round of applause. I mean, incredible. How awesome, how lucky is that? And I think, you know, today I was talking to someone, I said, what's your job? And they said, I'm a scheduler. You know, I handle the schedule. And I said, has anyone come in and the way you schedule the appointments?
Yeah.
And no. But you deserve it. How does anything get done unless it's scheduled? Every single person in that audience deserves a round of applause. And I tell people, I said, look, if someone's not going to give you a round of applause, then you should give it to yourself. As soon as you show up, you just, you know, it's about just incorporating and realize that we got to celebrate. We have to be more positive with each other. We have to give that positive support to each other. Because when you applaud, what am I going to do? I'm going to produce more. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just like when you're 3 and 4, what happens when you celebrate those moments with your 3 and 4-year-old? You give them confidence. Whatever we're celebrating, they're going to do more of.
Yeah.
And why can't we bring that more to the workplace?
What are the other really good tips and takeaways? So I know we've talked about a little bit about change, about communication, about having fun. What are some of your other big takeaways that you have for people?
Wow. I think we covered everything.
That's it.
I don't even know.
He did 3 hours today at an event.
Is that not enough? I mean, you know, did you ask Ken Burns? Ken, can you give me another tip?
Another tip.
Give me one more tip, Ken.
Just one.
One more.
What's your favorite moment in history?
The history of America? Man, we just went from a lot of big things.
Hey, you're the Ken Burns of improv.
Wow. Can there I get that on a t-shirt?
Yeah. That's your ta-da moment.
Can you put that on my LinkedIn? That was huge.
There we go.
Because he's something special. My one tip that we didn't mention would be to stay in the game. That's the best message improv ever taught me. Is that, you know, when you're playing the game, something could happen, something doesn't work, something goes the wrong way. If you stay in the game, you're going to find a way to be successful. And you take that to your work life, is that we have to just stay in the game. You know, something might go wrong, somebody may make a mistake. If you stay in the game, we're going to find a way. But that means you have to do more. You might have to work late. You might have to get out of your comfort zone. You might have to learn something new. It's hard, but it's also fulfilling and rewarding. The second question, do you see how well I'm just listening? Yeah, I'm listening.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm listening to Joseph. You, yes. Brian. I'll give you a story of my history.
Okay.
Or we could talk about what history do you want to talk about?
Sure.
Just pick something.
Anything. How about this? So we'll give you your craziest moments on stage. So people love this, and we can give you. I'll give you some fake names because they're big fans here. So we'll say Lisa and Sean.
Yeah,
which are two premier people. We'll just pretend that's who it was. Yeah. But if you have, you can.
I have a lot of moments.
Okay, give us a couple moments.
I had the moment. Do you remember Larry Hagman, JR?
Yeah.
The actor that played JR.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a keynote. And the client said, this is when they redid Dallas. They brought, and this is in Dallas. I live in Dallas. Yeah. So I'm doing an event in Dallas at this hotel. And Larry Hagman is living at the hotel while he's filming the new Dallas. And the client says, listen, somebody's a friend of Larry Hagman's. He might come and say hello to the audience. But the time of window is during your keynote. Would it be okay if he interrupted your keynote and said hello to the audience? I'm like, sure, it's Larry Hagman. Sure. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah. You know, improv is all about being open and flexible and never know what's happening, right? And reacting. And I'm like, sure. So I'm doing my thing. And I wouldn't say the audience was one of those audiences that was like jumping out of their seats. You know, it was a more introverted group. Okay. And so we're still having fun. So Larry Hagman comes in, and you know, even when he was older, he's still a large presence, right? He had a huge cowboy hat, right? And, you know, he was also, at that time, he was sick, but he was such just a huge presence. And he comes in, and the crowd went nuts. It was like the Beatles plus One Direction, you know, plus the Backstreet Boys, plus Beyonce, I mean, plus Taylor Swift. They literally were jumping out of their seats. And he gets up and he says, hey, you know, welcome to Dallas. And, you know, and I'm just over there just shrinking. And he didn't shake, you know, he was a fist bump because he was sick, you know. And then the women in the audience were going nuts.
Yeah.
He just literally 1 minute. And then he leaves, and then I have to pick up my keynote and like what I was talking about. And then the energy goes like this. That's one of my all time favorite memories. Another memory is I'm doing a breakout session, and you know, sometimes those big conferences and it's got like 50 breakouts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there were 8 people in my breakout. Yeah.
Everyone's on stage.
Everyone. There's 8 people in my breakout. Next door, they got a couple hundred people in their breakout. I don't even know what was happening. There's microphones, whatever. And so my 8, we were having a blast. And I guess we were really loud. And so the person, the director or whoever comes in while I'm doing an improv game and whispers in my ear, "You guys need to bring the volume down. You're bothering the other group." Okay, remember, I'm 8 people.
8 people.
No microphones. I can't help that the speaker in the other room sucks. I don't know who it was, but I'm like, and then what do you, when you tell someone like me to bring the volume down, what do you think happened?
It probably went the opposite
direction. It does. It absolutely does.
And the people were probably buying into that too.
Oh, we're 8 people. I can't help. We were just having, and they were an amazing group. I call them my Ocho. And we got even loud. And then I think I had another breakout, and there was a lot more people I was probably 2 buildings down from everybody else. That's how far away on the convention center that they put me for the next breakout. But I've got a million stories. I have the person introduces you. And they introduce you, but before they introduce you, they talk about the CEO mm-hmm. who just passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then bring you up, and then let's have some fun with Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also had the introduction where it's a public company, and the president or whoever gets up and goes, "We just got the phone call. Yeah, we just lost our biggest client." Let's bring up Joel.
Let's bring up Joel. That's like a moment from The Office.
Yeah. And then that company was dissolved in 2 weeks after wasn't my fault. They lost their client. It wasn't my fault. I had nothing to do with that. But I love telling stories. I love telling stories like that. I have a couple that I can't say.
You have a couple that you can't say. Well, how about this? So one of my questions is, where did you get the idea? So to kind of wrap it, you like people love the event. Like you have all these people standing and cheering. Where did you get the idea to get that big picture? Like every time you do an event, I get this big picture of everybody standing and cheering and doing the ta-da.
How do I get that photo?
Well, not how. Where did you get the idea? Have you always done that?
You know, the ta-da?
Yeah.
I started very early on, but that's a great question because I get asked about how, you know, I created my keynote and everything. And I never wrote down, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. There is no written record of my keynote. I would do something and I would say, "Oh, that I like that. That was great. We should do that again."
Yeah.
And or I would evolve or change the game, the improv game, and I'll go, "Oh, let's do that again." Or even my message, you know, there's things I said today that I probably have never said before. Mm-hmm. And I will say, "Oh, I really like how I said that." I don't remember the moment that I said, "Let's all ta-da." It wasn't at the beginning. I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning, I was like Spider-Man that didn't know how to use his powers. Right? I just got bit by a spider and I'm running into a wall, you know, have no idea how to use my powers. And I don't remember the first time. I can't tell you. And I don't remember, you know, and I know this sounds silly, but I have the whole audience, you know, do the bunny, bunny, bunny. And I don't remember where, I know that the bunny, bunny, bunny came from an actor game where we would circle up. And you would go bunny, 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 and then the person across him was just kind of a warm-up game. And I took it as a game to just kind of break the ice, break the barriers, you know, take a risk. The ta-da, you know, was just about celebrating. And I don't remember where that came from. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you. Yeah. I could say, oh, it came from watching my kids and celebrating them. But I think I did it before that.
Yeah.
And so no one's ever asked where it came from. You know, have everybody stand up and just ta-da. And it just became, and because at the beginning, I wasn't known as the ta-da, but at this point I've really embraced it. It's in the titles of my topics and, mm-hmm. you know, we talk and oh, ta-da. And, you know, people always send me messages and ta-da and photos. Yeah. So it's lost to history. it is lost to history.
Yeah. It's a mystery, but it's worth having.
Yeah.
So, all right. So last question, do your kids do improv intentionally?
my daughter did take theater in all through high school, and so she certainly did improv. And I know my son took some theater, and both I said, "Hey, would you like me to come speak to your class?" And that was a hard no for both of them. That was, what if I just show up? No. And I'm like, but I could, no. But they've come and seen me speak, and they, you know, they've always, they enjoy it. And my daughter actually, there's a nonprofit leadership group called Hobie. Mm-hmm. She's the assistant program manager and actually has hired me. I use hired loosely because sometimes that involves money and there isn't money. But for like 100, 150 high school sophomores and juniors. And so she has volunteered after she went through the program. Mm-hmm. And so obviously they respect. And anytime though we're out and about and I'm maybe a little loud or do something to draw attention, and my kids will, you know, oh, God, dad. Or my son will walk across the street, you know, the other side of the street. And I have to remind them that everything they have is because I'm loud.
Just appreciate
your phone, your car, the tuition, your Xbox. It was all paid for me being loud. It was all paid for me being loud, you know? So.
Yeah. So if you take away nothing else from this, be loud.
Yeah. That's when in doubt, just be louder.
Just louder.
In
just
life, in everything you do, right? And, you know, we were talking before we got on camera about the moment that really changed my life. And I was working at the newspaper in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And they called, and actually the anniversary is coming up in a few days.
Okay.
I think it was December 7th.
Okay.
It was either like the 6th or 7th, but I know the anniversary. So it was 1991. So the anniversary is coming up, 33 years. They said, come clean out your desk. The newspaper's closed. Because I had no idea that speakers existed. I had no idea about, you know, doing improv or being a comedian or any of that. Mm-hmm. I was focused on being a newspaper reporter. And they said, come clean out your desk. And as I was leaving my one-bedroom apartment with no furniture, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? I had a bed. I don't even think at that moment I may have had a couch. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But it was a one-bedroom apartment. And so I had a harmonica, and I am completely tone deaf. I have no musical ability, but I went to a lecture in college, and I'm guessing it was a harmonica player because I bought a harmonica. So I took, and it wasn't like I walked out of a lot of, I left my apartment and grabbed my harmonica. This was not something that happened often. So I grabbed my harmonica, and I don't know why. And so I go down, clean out my desk, see what I can take, you know, stapler, three-hole punch. You know, people are like just tearing things off the wall. And somehow I found my way on the back loading dock. And that was where the media had gathered. Because, you know, when a major metropolitan newspaper closed, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. And as a big story in 1991. And so I kind of looked around, seeing the situation. And I took out my harmonica, which I now call my magic harmonica. And I wish I had it here. And I can play one blues note really bad, by the way, really bad. And it was like a bow, 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 bow. And I saw the media was, you know, the other newspapers, the TV stations, everything, photographers. I went, bow, 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 bow. Just lost my job. Bow, 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 bow. Got no money. Bow, 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 bow. Just came from my one bedroom apartment. Bow, 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 bow. No money. Bow, 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 bow. No job. You know, and you could literally, the cameras literally were like, you know, and I don't remember what happened. I can't see the person's face, but someone grabbed my elbow and said, "You'll never work in this town again." it was like a film noir, right?
Oh, that's
"You'll
awesome.
Never work in this town again." And later that day, on the NBC affiliate and I think it was the ABC affiliate, they lead off with this young, stupid kid, that's me, playing the harmonica as this newspaper goes down in flames. Bow, 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 this kid, and I just 6 months, I was hired 6 months prior to this.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. A lot of people blame me, Brian.
Like, I keep hearing about these things closing, and maybe that's the time.
It is. But what it did was, I made a choice that day. You know, everybody has a lot of different emotions. They just lost their job. I just lost my job.
Yeah.
And so people are confused. They're angry. They're, they're distraught. You know, they're sad. And I made the choice that said, I'm going to choose how I feel about this situation, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to choose how I react. I didn't choose that the paper was closing, but I'm going to choose how I react. And I reacted, I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to celebrate the moment with this magic harmonica, and I'm going to be positive and supportive. And it was really the beginning, the birth of what I believed in, and the birth of my keynotes, and the birth of my business, but I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really special moment that if I didn't do that, and then, you know, at that moment, all of a sudden, now I'm unemployed. I started doing stand-up. I got involved in the improv group at that time. Mm-hmm. If the paper didn't close at that moment, if I didn't play my magic harmonica at that moment, I may have not started doing stand-up or started or auditioned for the improv group. Mm-hmm. And then led me to the moment where we talked about Texas Instruments, bringing me up to do that executive retreat, which led me to, you know, Allstate Insurance that did that demo video. Mm-hmm. And then the moment just kept going and kept going, and it led me to this right here.
Awesome.
Yeah, all because of a magic harmonica.
That's very cool. That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that story.
I wish I had the harmonica with me.
Wait, he improv one.
So yeah, I did. About... It was really good, too.
It was really
did
good.
Did you see the improv work? It was way better than your box.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Let me see your box again.
That's all we got right there. It's kind of a rectangle.
That's good.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Well, I don't think we can top that, my magic box and his magic harmonica. So, everyone, thank you for watching and listening. Make sure to go to Joel Zeff, Zeff.
Yeah.
So Joel Zeff at premierspeakers.com. You can check out videos, bios, everything else. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And Joel, thank you again for coming on.
Brian, thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Awesome.
Was this, it went Ken Burns, then me, then the Manning brothers.
Then the Manning brothers. You got it. You're at least better than two of the three. There we go.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you for joining us for the Beyond Speaking podcast. To learn more about today's guests, visit premierspeakers.com. Make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen.